is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
It's 9:07 on News Radio 1350 KMAN. Welcome to In Focus. It is Monday, August 3rd, 2015. I'm Eric Stone, joined by your host, Kathy Dawes.
And thank you, Eric. In studio with me, we have senior planner from the city of Manhattan, Chad Bunger, and also Shelley Carver, and she's community development manager with the Flint Hills Regional Council. Appreciate both of them stopping by. And we've been talking some about this. I know we got word, of course, last week, a little more detail about the Wildcat Creek Watershed Resiliency Project advancing to phase two. And Chad, I guess you're going to tell us what that really means in maybe layman's terms, perhaps.
Yeah. We'll put it in layman's terms. Really excited about this. We've been talking for years, well, since probably 2007 or better, about flooding on Wildcat Creek. And end of last year, an opportunity came about, and the state of Kansas is helping us out with it to fund some projects to reduce the flood risk on Wildcat Creek. And so this project is a grant application to HUD for their National Disaster Resiliency Competition Grant. It is about $1 billion with a B, nationwide competition to put some innovative projects in place to reduce risks of natural disasters and make a community more resilient. So we applied, made it past round one, which was basically showing that we were competent and had the capacity and resources to pull something like this off. And now we're in phase two, where we're going to put together the project and make the final application. What we're kind of looking at is attacking in a couple different angles. One, first and foremost, reduce the flood risk for the folks that have been impacted in the past. Wildcat Creek's disrupted a number of lives since 2007 with the flooding that we've had on there. So we'll work with those property owners and residents and tenants to either move them up and get them higher so they're protected from flooding, or move them back or buy them out and eliminate the risk for that property. We'll also work in the upper part of the watershed to reduce the amount of water that gets into the creek. So we'll work with farmers and ranchers, find some ways to put in stock ponds or some other bioswales, green infrastructure, those kind of things. That's kind of the innovation to this project. So less water actually gets into the creek. It'll stay on the land, benefit the farmers. We also have to deal with the Topeka Shiner, so there's going to be some innovation in that and how we protect their habitat, make sure that the bass from a stock pond that grows there doesn't flip over the dam and, find some lunch of a Topeka Shiner. So, and then the last piece is we're going to wrap it all up into a master plan for the community for that area. So how we want to repurpose the creek, trails and parks. My perception is the Wildcat Creek's looked at kind of as a gutter or a ditch. And so we'll see if we can change that. If we can put together enough pieces of ground, maybe we could put a nice trail system, some park systems in there, connect everything. And then from there, we hope that spurs on some redevelopment. So we've got a lot of partners in play. Flint Hills Regional Council's working with us. The Kansas Department of Ag is actually the applicant and is spearheading this with us. Riley County, the Fort, all sorts of folks that have stepped up, Kansas State. So pretty excited about this. We're looking at about a $40 million application up in that range.
Do you want to remind our listeners, too, if you have questions or comments, we always welcome those. 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350 KMAN. And Shelley, as Chad just mentioned, of course, the Flint Hills Regional Council is a partner, and maybe just the role that you play in this whole process.
Well, the Regional Council is really a natural partner on this project because all of the affected jurisdictions, Riley County, City of Manhattan, and Fort Riley, all sit on the Regional Council, and this is truly a regional project. So the lessons that we learned, the projects that we're able to implement, we would hope would be able to translate to other areas of the council or other areas of the state. So we're really excited to be a partner on this project, as well as providing the administrative grant support for it as well.
Now, Chad, I know there's a meeting coming up you're wanting to highlight.
Yeah.
People want to come and find out firsthand what's going on here.
Yep. So a big piece of this application phase will be to get input from the public. We have our first of, we're planning several meetings in this tight timeline. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, August 5th at 6:30 at City Hall, where we will introduce the grant, introduce the project, and try to get some the feedback, the start of feedback. And like I said, we'll have other meetings coming up in the future to kind of, divvy out what we're trying to pull together.
Okay. And I know that it's one of those things, too. A lot of people may be confused about what it's all about, so hopefully that'll clarify a little bit for them, too. We do have a phone call, apparently, too. Let's go ahead and go to the phones, and you'll need your set of headphones there, Shelley. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment.
Well, the commissioner was talking about $12 million, and now you're talking about $40 million. A million here, a million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. But rather than tearing down the taxable houses and businesses and clearing them out, if you put retaining ponds up at the watershed area, like Kathy's place, that would hold the water back and not let the creek flood. They did that in Chautauqua County, and it cured the Caney River from flooding. But if you consider the Kansas River being the flood source and backing water up the Manhattan, up the Wildcat Creek, then you have a different problem. Thank you for your consideration.
And do appreciate the phone call. And there were some questions raised of this nature at the intergovernmental meeting, I think, this past week, too. I know Shelley was there. I don't know that you were, Chad. But, there are a lot of people wondering about that as a possibility.
Yeah, it is definitely in our scope of project. We want to do two things primarily. Get folks out of harm's way. There's always been flooding on Wildcat Creek. There always will be flooding on Wildcat Creek. So we want to make sure that the folks that are most at risk get out of the way in one form or fashion. And that doesn't have to mean buying the house out and tearing it down. We can elevate it. We can move it back further on the property. There's a variety of ways we can handle this. But that's first and foremost. The second piece, and just as big a piece, is to put those stock ponds, detention ponds, wetlands, rain gardens. There's a number of things we can do up there that's going to decrease the amount of water, and that's our second priority, is not to let water or flooding get worse. But we'll always have flooding on Wildcat Creek. It's a very dynamic system in that Manhattan, and where the majority of the residents are, is at the bottom of that watershed. So any large amount of rains up in the watershed under the right conditions will cause flooding. And then the Kansas River, when it's in a high flood stage, also contributes to that. It doesn't back up so much that it causes flooding on folks, but it does impede the water from getting out into the Kansas River. So it's extremely dynamic. And like I said, we'll always have flooding there. And so, we got to take it at a couple different approaches. I will say this, that the grant is going to be 100% voluntary from the property owner's perspective. So if someone doesn't want to sell their home or doesn't want to elevate it, we don't have to do that, or we won't do that, because it's going to be 100% voluntary. So we hope people see the advantage to protecting their properties and making themselves safer, because we can only do so much. It's a pretty flash floody watershed, and we could, just like the Blue River, we could dam it up. Not that we're proposing it, but we could build another Tuttle Creek too, and we'll still have flood risk. There'll still be people below it that will be at risk. It's maybe better managed, but it'll still be at risk. So we're trying to take it from every angle to truly reduce that flood risk on the creek.
Anything to add, Shelley? I know you were at that intergovernmental meeting, and actually, interestingly, it was Riley County Commissioner Ron Wells that brought it up. And, I think as a property owner, not really even as a commissioner, I think he got one of the letters that talked about, the possible, sale of some, or you taking over some of the land. But I don't know, Shelley, if you want to talk a bit too, and, just to clarify a little bit for people out there what we're talking about.
Well, Commissioner Wells was very, very concerned about what was being done in the upper part of the watershed. And ironically enough, that is what makes this project so innovative, is that we are dealing with what's happening in the upper part of the watershed and not just buying out properties. The purpose of this grant is to do something a little bit different, to not just buy out properties and clear the floodway. It is intended to look at the whole area and try to come up with a strategy that will reduce the flow, stop the flow, and protect more property owners. So his concerns really, I think, will be addressed in this project application, and I encourage him and everyone to attend the meeting on Wednesday to learn more about what Chad and the rest of the team are proposing to do.
Quite a few property owners impacted by this, Chad, or I mean, I'm sure a lot of other people got letters too. Actually, and you mentioned my property. We're on the other side, I think. We have a little pond up above our property, but we're on the other side of Anderson. I don't think we're perhaps part of this, but if you want to elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, we invited everyone that is located in the floodplain. So someone may have 10 acres and just a little corner of their property has a floodplain on it. We invited them. So we sent out about, 400 to 500 letters to property owners and the press releases. That's the first meeting, and then we're going to have more meetings. We know there's a number of apartment buildings with tenants and rental units, and we're going to specifically talk with them because they'll be impacted as well if their property owner wants to participate in the program. So we're really going to try to get the word out, get as many people involved. Addressing the tax issue on the backside is we are doing this master plan, and the hope is if we can change the perspective of Wildcat Creek from not just a gnarly wooded over creek to something that is a benefit to the community, it's an amenity, then we hope that can spur on some private redevelopment and some properties that are underutilized or vacant now that we have protected from the flooding with all of our efforts could be redeveloped. So hopefully we come out of this on top with added to the tax base rather than negative to the tax base.
And I know right now there's some developments out in that area. I think Prairie Woods maybe in that area, possibly. And there's a new winery. I know they're trying to get going out in that vicinity too.
And it's not just a City of Manhattan issue. There's a number of properties in rural Riley County around Keats and further out that were significantly impacted by flooding. And we're going to help. It's not just a Manhattan thing. We're going to help those properties also. And like I said, with the detention pond, the stock ponds, other things, they call it green infrastructure, basically a bioswell detention in the ground where water goes to it and percolates down into the ground to recharge the groundwater. We hope all that is a benefit to the agricultural community. So it's not just a Manhattan project. It's truly a regional watershed effort.
Of course, Garden Way, we always kind of tend to think of that area.
Yep.
I know it tends to flood pretty frequently.
Yeah, it's in a tough neighborhood in regards to flooding. It's right there. A lot of different things are coming at it and backing up into it with the Setchild Bridge. And, yeah, it's definitely an area we're looking at.
I do know one thing we haven't talked about is comparing it. As you said, this is really something that we've been picked for this. I mean, you're talking about 39 other state governments and municipalities. This is really pretty special that we got chosen.
Yeah, we're extremely excited. We were at an academy last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess now. Shelley and I and some folks from the state, and there are a lot of folks there. Moore, Oklahoma, and Minot, North Dakota were a couple of local communities, but then Connecticut, Colorado, who else was there? There was a number of folks, and that was one of two. And they've all got big ideas. So,
yes, the funding for this project came from funds that weren't spent and the relief effort of Hurricane Sandy. And so a lot of those communities up there in the New York, Connecticut, New England area, they're all at the table for this too. They've been able to do some of their work and looking to these funding opportunities to finish. So we feel it's pretty prestigious to be in that same group and that our project has been elevated to those same levels.
And Shelley, I know Manhattan's kind of getting on the map, and I think the Fort Riley connection too probably helps a little bit. And it sounds like Fort Riley is also trying to work with this process too. I know there have been concerns voiced again at that intergovernmental meeting, but it sounds like they're really trying to work on this also.
Yes, they are working with us on this, and the team from Department of Agriculture was out there last week walking the creek area and identifying places to put in some infrastructure. Fort Riley doesn't want to lose training area, but then they can't really train in areas that are subjected to flooding either. So they want to be partners not just to protect their training grounds, but also to be partners with the community and to help protect the community.
Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and speak a little bit more with Chad Bunger, Senior Planner, City of Manhattan, also Shelley Carver, Community Development Manager with the Flint Hills Regional Council. Again, if you have questions or comments, we do appreciate the call we received, 537-1350.